From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. So, the Soundcheck theme song here by Marco Benevento opens each edition of the show, and it does that just fine, but I don't know, I've been wondering if we should change things up a little bit. You know, go for a different sound. What do you think of this?
From Stage 29 at Paramount Studios on Melrose Avenue, in the heart of Hollywood, California, this is United States, on the planet we call Earth, it's the Art Studio Hall, now starring our Studio Hall, it's our Studio!
Might have to change the name of the show, though. Well, we'll work on it. The idea came up because Arsenio Hall is about to premiere a revamped version of his late-night talk show, the one that went off the air back in the 90s. In a little bit, we'll have two looks at the phenomenon that was the original Arsenio Hall show, one of them serious and the other, not so much. But you know, we do have some things in common with that old late-night show, like bringing you musical acts before they become popular. Like the band Haim. You're likely to be hearing a lot of them when their debut album comes out on a major label later this month, but they'll give us a live preview today. And we also talk politics. Well, sometimes. Remember when Arsenio had Bill Clinton on during the 1992 election? Might have been the most memorable thing he did for the whole show. Well, tonight, we're getting political and kicking off our latest listener challenge called Remix the Mayor. Yes, the New York mayoral race is into the home stretch. Tomorrow is primary day here in New York, a big day in one of the most closely watched political races in the city in recent memory. So with some help from the WNYC archives, we've collected some particularly musical or memorable or just plain weird quotes from some of our past mayors, going all the way back to Fiorello LaGuardia in the 30s, and right up to Mayor Bloomberg. And joining me to help explain this all is Soundcheck producer Greta Cohn. Hey, Greta.
Hi, John.
So we've got what, like a dozen, baker's dozen of these audio samples?
Yeah, we have 13 samples ranging, as you said, all the way back to Mayor LaGuardia in the 1930s, up to Bloomberg today, and kind of almost everyone in between.
Well, I mean, the WNYC archives are full of stuff. So who did the whittling down here?
Well, in collaboration with the archives, the Soundcheck team pored over clips, considered what would make for a good musical clip, right? So that you could remix it. And after many hours of listening and cutting and searching, we decided on this 13. Yeah.
Where are they?
They are found on the Soundcheck website. If you visit the website, there is a SoundCloud link that you can download all the tracks. You can also find them in a zip file. So just visit the site and all the instructions are there in terms of how you can download the tracks and where you can send your remix.
All right. So who's going to be listening to these remixes?
Well, of course we are, because we can't wait to hear what you do with the sounds. But also we have some guest judges. We have Evan Gregory from the Gregory Brothers, who have been on Soundcheck in the past. They are probably most well known for their auto-tune The News remixes. Mm-hmm. And we'll also have Julie Klausner, a comedian, writer, podcaster, New Yorker. Mm-hmm. So she'll be weighing in too. And after we listen to all your submissions, we're going to pick a winner.
All right. So give us a couple of examples of, you know, some of the source material that people can base their remixes on.
Sure. So I created a crossfade of some of my favorite of the selections. We're going to hear from Mayor Koch, Mayor Lindsay, LaGuardia, and then O'Dwyer.
1988 will not be a year of boom and zoom, neither will it be a year of doom and gloom. Instead, it will be the year of broom and groom.
That's such an involved question, and it takes so much that I would rather not get in on it. I would rather not comment it at the moment.
That is too much for the average family for a little booty.
You will never, never have a decent transportation system in this city, until you build the Second Avenue subway and the other improvements in the three boroughs that it will tap, Queens, Bronx, and Brooklyn, as well as Manhattan. That will cost you upwards of $500 million, but it's got to be done.
Well, that's William O'Dwyer, who was mayor in the late 40s. Gonna cost you $500 million. I mean, that's pretty musical there.
Oh, yeah, it really is.
We also heard Mayor LaGuardia. What the heck was the little booty thing?
He's talking about little baby slippers.
Okay.
But, you know.
We also heard Mayor Lindsay evading a question, and Mayor Koch, I don't know what he was on about.
Boom and zoom.
Boom and zoom. All right, so that's just some of the source material. Go to our website, soundcheck.org. You can find all 13 audio samples, remix them however you want. Original content only, though, right?
Absolutely. Must be original.
So just to get you thinking about it, both Greta and I have done a remix. I actually chose this little gem from a ranting, who would have thought, a ranting Mayor Giuliani.
There is something really, really very sad about you. You need help. You need somebody to help you. This excessive concern with little weasels is a sickness. I'm sorry. That's my opinion.
So that's, I guess that's from his radio show, and
yeah,
somebody had called in complaining about a ferret or something.
Exactly, exactly.
And the help, you know, he pops that P. So I thought that would make a great rhythm track.
You need help. You need help. You need help. Help. You need help. 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 You need little weasels to help you. I'm sorry. That's my opinion. I'm really, really very sad about little weasels. That's my sickness. That's my sickness. There is something really, really very sad about my concern with little weasels. There is something excessive about my opinion. My opinion is a sickness. Little weasels help you. There is something excessive about my concern with little weasels. That's my sickness. That's my sickness. I'm very concerned about little weasels. That's my sickness.
John, you have set the bar high. That's incredible.
Just turning, you know, the confrontational Giuliani into a more confessional, a kinder,
absolutely,
gentler Giuliani. All right, so I just chose that one, and everything in there comes just from that one clip of Giuliani. But now you, Greta, did kind of a mashup of a couple of these, right?
I did, yeah. I chose a few that particularly struck me, in addition to just straightforward clips from speeches or radio shows or what have you. We also had this really incredible gem of Mayor LaGuardia with a choir, a very short clip, so I used that in my remix. I think mine is maybe more of the fifth grade level and then the advanced kind of AP level of remix that you have got going on. But, you know, let's hear what you think.
For a little booty, 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 booty. Too much for the average family.
I would rather not get in on it. I would rather not comment it at the moment.
There is something really, really very sad about you. You need help. You need somebody to help you. This excessive concern with little weasels is a sickness. I'm sorry. That's my opinion.
Thank you very much.
So you liked the Giuliani, too.
I did, yeah.
That choir thing is great.
I thought they were kind of responding.
Yeah, like a Greek choir.
Exactly.
Like a Greek chorus. All right, so that's just some of the source material on our website, soundcheck.org. Follow the instructions to download the clips. Send us your remix by when?
Sunday, September 29th. That is the final day to be considered in the challenge, to be judged by Julie Klausner and Evan Gregory from the Gregory Brothers. So get it to us by then and send it as soon as you can, because we're going to be hearing some of our favorites for the next few weeks on the show.
and get out and vote tomorrow in the primary.
Exactly.
You mentioned the Gregory Brothers, great remixers of political moments like this final debate from last year's presidential election. Greta Cohn, thanks.
Thanks, John.
All right, okay, now how could we ship all these jobs to Shanghai when America invented the chicken pot pie?
We have brought cases against China for violating trade rules. We are going to insist that China plays by the same rules.
They're hacking into our computers, counterfeiting our goods, stealing our intellectual property, our patents, our designs.
Earlier in the show, I mentioned we'd be hearing from the band Haim. The L.A. group is made up of a trio of sisters and an unrelated drummer, and they are set to release a much-anticipated debut album at the end of this month. We'll talk with them a little bit later on in the show, but right now, let's hear them play one. This is called Go Slow. It's the band Haim. That's the band Haim, H-A-I-M. Their song is called Go Slow, and later in the show we'll hear more from this breakout group and get a chance to speak with them as well. Their debut album, Days Are Gone, comes out at the end of the month. Up next, a look at the Arsenio Hall Show, which went off the air in 1994, but is now making a return to late-night TV. That's next on Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. In the late 80s, comedian and actor Arsenio Hall became a late-night TV trailblazer. He was young, black, and his Arsenio Hall show was killing it in the ratings. He even beat out The Tonight Show, then hosted by the legendary Johnny Carson from time to time. Hall's show went off the air in 1994, though, after facing increased competition from Jay Leno and David Letterman. And since then, he's done stints on sitcoms and celebrity reality shows. But tonight, he returns to the late-night airwaves after almost 20 years with a revamped version of the Arsenio Hall show. TV critic Eric Deggans joins me now from the Tampa Bay Times to talk about it. Eric, welcome back to Soundcheck.
Thanks for having me.
Why now? It's been almost 20 years. What's different? What's enabling this to happen now?
Well, part of it, I think, is that there is so much more competition, and so people realize that there's more room for shows. I was just taking a look at 11 o'clock just last night, totally biased with W. Kamau Bell on the FXX channel, this new channel that FX created. We also had The Daily Show.
Right.
We also had Olbermann on ESPN2, Keith Olbermann's new show. And then a half an hour later, you have all the network shows starting with Jay Leno and David Letterman and Jimmy Kimmel. There's so much programming at late night that there's a show to cater to every sliver of the audience. And I think maybe Arsenio thought that there's a portion of that audience that still isn't being served that he could go for.
Yeah. Is it still the black audience, the younger black audience that's being underserved despite this plethora of late night shows?
Well, I guess that would be his contention.
You're the TV critic. What do you think, Eric?
Well, one of the reasons I think his show eventually lost steam and left the airwaves is because his competitors figured out that they could book all the people that he was booking, give them a bigger platform, and sort of steal his thunder. So even though he was renowned for giving early breaks to artists that were popular among black people, including MC Hammer and Guy, New Edition and Belle Biv DeVoe, the spinoff, Mariah Carey. Mm-hmm. Even though he's renowned for that, they just eventually, Leno and Letterman, just started booking those guests themselves, and they had, you know, bigger audiences, and they were able to steal a lot of that uniqueness from his show that came from featuring people who normally were not featured. So can Arsenio Hall get even further ahead of the curve now? Because we have people like Jimmy Fallon, where his house band is The Roots.
Right.
We have people like Jimmy Kimmel, who are certainly considered to be youthful and kind of have their finger on the pulse of the 20-something, 30-something young male viewer.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Arsenio has a huge mountain to climb and a huge amount of he has to prove a lot.
Well, and he has to sort of get back to what he did so successfully so early on in his career, which is what you mentioned, uncovering the hits before they became hits. I mean, you mentioned MC Hammer. Even before You Can't Touch This, MC Hammer was a guest on the Arsenio Hall show back in 1989. Listen to this. MC Hammer, Let's Get It Started, from the Arsenio Hall show in 1989.
You couldn't notice, but I was doing the Running Man in my genie pants, even as that was playing.
I occasionally watched the show back in those days. It might have been the first time I ever heard of MC Hammer, as you know, I'm sure it was for many listeners. But you know, if you go back to YouTube and watch some of these old clips and stuff, the show hasn't aged very well. I mean, tell us a little bit about why it was a big deal back then.
Sure. At that time, I was working at a paper in Pittsburgh. I was doing an internship. It was between my junior and senior years in college, so I was kind of the target demo for this show in a lot of ways. And I was seeing people on Arsenio Hall's show that I could not see on television anywhere else. I mean, MC Hammer was lighting up the clubs, the black clubs, lighting up black radio. Folks knew who he was. He was remixing James Brown tunes a lot back then and putting his signature style on top of it. And but white America didn't really know who he was. It was before You Can't Touch This became such a huge hit. So to see a guy like that on television at a time when he couldn't get on television anywhere else, even MTV wasn't necessarily playing him, that was huge. That was amazing. And that happened a lot. We saw people like Guy. We saw people like Bobby Brown. Prince took over Arsenio Hall's show three different times.
What do you mean by took over? I mean, he didn't actually sit down for an interview, did he?
No, he came out and he played for most of the show. And I remember the first time he did it, if my memory is serving me, Arsenio tried to jump on stage and kind of grab his hand and shake his hand and talk to him, and Prince literally ran away from him. So it was amazingly. I mean, this was back when Prince was all mysterious and stuff. But what was so signature about the show? I mean, I didn't think Arsenio was that great of an interviewer. I think a lot of times he would have people on, and it would feel like sort of this weird, you know, hang where he was, you know, overly complimentary to the guests, and he wasn't particularly good at probing them for information.
Well, as you say, he was not a polished interviewer, but that, you know, it didn't stop him from asking occasional tough questions when the white rapper Vanilla Ice was on his show. It was kind of an awkward moment, but, you know, he gave it a go.
You know, I know a lot of black rappers are probably angry because some of the white people screaming didn't buy rap until you did it, until they saw a Vanilla face on the cover of an album. That probably makes them angry because...
If it makes them angry, you know, angry, it's not my fault. Mm-hmm. Did I have anything to do with that?
So
no.
They should dog the people.
No, what they're saying is they're showing their own jealousy, man. That's all it is. You saw Flavor Flav. You know, me and him, we're homies.
Is that why you brought him out, just to show you have a black supporter? And
no, I brought him out because he's a friend of mine.
Wow. He did everything but drop the mic there.
Yeah, that takes you back in time. I mean, it's interesting because he kind of had to do that, you know. Yeah. Again, Arsenio's show was a favorite in black communities everywhere. Young black folks were watching it. And a big issue at that time was somebody like Vanilla Ice, who not only, it wasn't just that he was white, it was that he seemed to come out of nowhere. I mean, there were other white rappers working in hip hop for years, who were thought to be the people who would be stars. And if you notice, for example, Eminem is somebody who hasn't had to deal with that a lot of that kind of criticism, because he worked his way up through rap, and he had the patronage of some of the biggest stars, some of the biggest African American stars in rap. But Vanilla Ice was facing very different questions, and Arsenio knew that he had to take it to him. He had to really challenge him, because that's what his audience would expect.
We're speaking with Eric Deggans, the outgoing TV media critic for the Tampa Bay Times and incoming TV critic for NPR. He's also author of the recent book Race Baiter: How the Media Wields Dangerous Words to Divide a Nation. We're talking about Arsenio Hall returning to late night TV. Possibly the most famous moment in the history of Arsenio Hall's show was Bill Clinton, you know, so he playing the saxophone, sitting down for an interview. This is during the 1992 election season, so maybe the answer to this question is obvious, but why did Bill Clinton go on Arsenio Hall's show?
Well, I think, again, this was the beginning of this trend that we have seen in full flower now, where politicians realized that they could reach an audience that they couldn't reach any other way by going on these shows. And Bill Clinton is somebody who, he loves people, he's very gregarious, and he's easy with off-the-cuff situations. Like, one of the things that I think has hobbled some political candidates, George W. Bush and some others, is that they're not necessarily so great in unscripted settings.
Mm-hmm.
But Bill Clinton loves that. He loves to go out and mingle with people. And so it was a natural for him to go on Arsenio, play the sax a little bit, and just take any question that comes his way, knowing that in an environment like that, you know, you're not going to get hard-hitting questions. You're not going to get people, you know, holding your feet to the fire about your monetary policy or what you're going to do with education. You know, people are going to want to ask, you know, what songs you played in high school and what artists you listen to right now.
Did you ever think about playing professionally?
Yeah, and I liked it tonight. I like being on the other side of the posse.
Yeah.
Speaking of what your drummer said?
What?
He said if this music thing doesn't work out, you can always run for president. That's kind of the way I
look. You twist, Chuck. You carry a lot of people with you. You have more people than Hammer. You know, I mean, they're like a lot of guys in your posse today.
But I'm glad you're here. Let's Thanks. Get right down to things. What do you like? The old Elvis or the,
Which stamp? You know, I know you're an Elvis fan.
I led a national crusade for the young Elvis.
Really?
Yeah. You know, when you get old, he got fat like me. I mean, you know.
Well, that is Bill Clinton on the Arsenio Hall Show.
Gotta love Bubba. Gotta love him.
At the height of the 1992 election season. And you hear Clinton mentioning the Posse, which was Arsenio's band.
Right.
Is he likely to have a posse on the new Arsenio Hall show?
Oh, yeah, he will have a posse. He's already announced who's in it. One of the things that, again, that was interesting to me about back then was that the people that he had in the posse were, you know, for music nerds like me, I'm a drummer. I've been a drummer for 30 years. I played in a funk band in college. I knew some of the musicians in his old posse because they played with classic funk bands like Cameo and Earth, Wind & Fire. So that's not the case with this new posse. I have not heard of the musicians who are in his new posse, but he announced who they were. He also announced who some of his guests are going to be in this first week.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting about it is that they're pretty pretty much what you would expect and what you might see on any late night show. Chris Tucker, Mark Harmon, Lisa Kudrow, Ice Cube, Magic Johnson, George Lopez. You know, these are people that you see kind of making the rounds because they have movies coming out, they have projects coming out. You know, maybe with Magic Johnson and George Lopez, he's going to have a little failed late night talk show host reunion. But other than that, you know, it sounds pretty much what you would expect, and not a lot of names that are sort of unusual music names that you wouldn't expect to see. So I'm kind of curious about what exactly is going to be in this new show, and whether, despite all of the expectations in his history, we're going to end up with something that looks a lot like what we already have on television.
So, you know, keeping your Tampa Bay TV critic hat on for the moment before you put on your NPR TV critic hat, if you were a betting man, would you bet on Arsenio or against him?
If I were a betting man, I hate to say it, but I would bet against him because I think there's a lot of competition out there, and I think he's been out of the game a long time. And I think you could even tell from that interview with Bill Clinton, again, his skills as a broadcaster are not necessarily why that show was so unique. You know, you listen to David Letterman interview somebody, even when you watch somebody like Conan O'Brien, who's developed a very distinct comic persona as a late night host, or you watch Jimmy Fallon. I mean, one of the biggest hurdles for Jimmy Fallon was to figure out, who am I when I'm talking to these people? Who am I when I'm hosting this show? And he's figured out sort of an every guy persona that wears really well. And I think when he transitions to the Tonight Show, that's going to be the one thing that's most appealing about him.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Arsenio Hall, he's still not quite that smooth.
Yeah.
Or at least he wasn't, you know, 20 years ago. Let's see what he does in this new show. But that's the one thing that I think is going to be his stumbling block, his biggest challenge.
The new Arsenio Hall show begins tonight here in New York. It airs on WPIX Channel 11 at 11 p.m. And we've been speaking with Eric Deggans, the TV media critic for the Tampa Bay Times, who's about to become NPR's first ever TV critic and author of the book Race Baiter, How the Media Wields Dangerous Words to Divide a Nation. Eric, Eric. It's been a while since we last had you on Soundcheck. Great to talk with you again, and congratulations on the NPR gig.
Thanks so much for having me. One of the great advantages of that is I look forward to being on your air even more. She'll drive you right out of your mind, steal your heart when you're blind. So beware, she's scheming, she'll make you think you're dreaming. She'll fall in love and you screaming, leaving. Poison, deadly, moving slow, looking for another fellow like the one.
Man, it is fun listening back to those old Arsenio Hall show clips, and actually there's a treasure trove of them on YouTube. So if you happen to go hunting around for them, chances are you might also stumble upon something called the Arsenio Paul Show. It's a web series created by the comedian and actor Paul Scheer, who you might know from the FX comedy The League or his various other TV appearances, and he is joining me on the line now. Hi, Paul.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. So, Arsenio Paul, was it the similarity of names that gave you the idea to do this?
You know, I am an Arsenio Hall fan. Growing up, he was kind of like my Carson. He had the people on the show that I loved. Like, you know, he had Eddie Murphy on the show and NWA. And so I always have a soft spot in my heart for Arsenio. And there was one clip in particular that I loved. It was an interview with Gary Coleman. Mm-hmm. And Gary Coleman is trying to debunk the idea that he's a nerd. So he comes on there in motorcycle boots and in a leather jacket and tells Arsenio all about how he's macking on the ladies.
Where should we start tonight? First of all, are you dating?
Of course.
Okay.
Can't you tell?
What's your girl's name, man?
Well, now, I can't give away names because there's more than one.
And I just thought that was so funny, and I always wanted to, like, do something with it. And then I got a chance to do this web series, and I thought, why don't I just do exact word-for-word recreations of the Arsenio Hall show?
So, but you didn't stop there. I mean, the concept behind the series seems to be, you know, we get your word-for-word reenactment, but before we do, we're given a chance to click on something else, which is an improv version. So which came first?
Well, the idea really was to do kind of a tribute and highlight these really funny interviews that Arsenio did. People said stuff and did things on these shows that no one would do on a talk show now, ever. And I thought it was just so funny just to do the word for word. But then I got a little bit nervous and thought, I don't know, if maybe people don't know who Arsenio is anymore. Will this be funny? Will they believe it? So when we were taping it, we would do the scripted version, and then at the end of it, I'd said to whoever was the actors in it, Seth Rogen or Alison Brie or Adam Pally or Weird Al Yankovic, I'd say, let's just do one where we improvise and use the basis of the interview as our jumping-off point. And so we put them both out there. So if you don't know Arsenio, you have no idea. It's just like a funny little sketch.
Yeah.
And if you do know him, you get to see what he actually said.
So which is weirder, the word-for-word or the improv stuff?
Oh, my God. I think the word for word is weirder just because it happened. You know, comedy is comedy, but that is reality. I mean, Arsenio is amazing. Like, I always think when I look at Arsenio and I watch so many of them to pick these clips, he never used cards to prompt his questions. It was just kind of a freewheeling conversation. So I think people are always so much more relaxed to not have an agenda out there. And they created these insane interviews, things where, like, Tupac Shakur laments the fact that he was asked to take an AIDS test before he could kiss Janet Jackson. You know, it's like all these like weird little things that pop up. It blew my mind.
We're speaking with Paul Scheer. He's the creator of the Arsenio Paul Show, a web series that actually recreates word for word some classic moments from the original Arsenio Hall show. I was watching Rosie O'Donnell, Madonna, and then Madonna's dad on the Arsenio Paul show. And that is word for... I mean, you sit there and you think, this can't possibly have happened this way.
Tell me, when you're on a set doing a movie, how does a friendship begin? I mean, how do y'all click?
Well, me and Ro have a lot in common.
Right. Okay, like what?
Well, we both lost our mothers at a very early age.
And we both were raised in large Catholic families.
And we both had sex with Warren Beatty.
Oh, you know, the initial bonding thing.
That's the thing. And, you know, people still to this day, like, they like, I couldn't believe that that's actually real. And I, you know, it's, they are all 100% real things, you know, and it's, you know, obviously now knowing what we know about Rosie O'Donnell and Madonna, you know, time also makes these interviews even more funny because you see, you know, you have the benefit of, you know, 20 some odd years of history now, and then seeing them back then, it really cracks me up.
So what's been your favorite one to do so far?
You know, I think my favorite are Shiri O'Paul. I'm gonna go to the one of the classics, which is I think that Tupac Shakur one is really funny because it's so unabashed. You would never see an interview like that on TV again.
Now I'm glad that Coke is out.
Is Coke out?
That's what we should be celebrating and cheering for, is that people don't be talking about doing Coke no more, all right? People don't do Coke no more. In fact, if you do Coke in this business, you ostracize from this business, from this industry.
Can marijuana lead to something harder?
No.
Tupac Shakur, coming up next.
Not the Arsenio Hall show, but an incredible simulation from the mind and the pen of Paul Scheer, who's with us on the line, the actor and comedian, and his Arsenio Paul show, which comes at just the right time. Did you know that Arsenio Hall was going to be rejoining the late-night TV lineup?
You know, I knew it was going to be happening, but the way that this series got put together, it was not timed out to meet up the same way that it did. It just a nice happenstance that it all worked out.
And does Arsenio know about it?
Arsenio does know about it. We just had the premiere for the league, and I was talking to a bunch of TV Guide reporters, and they said that they had brought it up to him. And he seemed a little cagey about it. Like, he doesn't know. I don't think he knows whether I'm making fun of him, celebrating him. I don't think he knows what to make of it.
Yeah.
And
Paul,
then,
are you making fun of him or are you celebrating him?
I am celebrating him. I am a fan of Arsenio. I think it's amazing. I think they're super funny. My dream is to go on the Arsenio Hall show as the 1990s version of Arsenio and interview the 2000s version of Arsenio.
What about getting Arsenio to appear on the Arsenio Paul show?
I have the interview lined up for it already.
Oh, really?
Who would he be?
He
would be Ike Turner. There's an interview that Ike Turner did on the Arsenio Hall show where Tina Turner's book just came out and had some pretty damning allegations about his abuse to her. And he kind of questions Ike Turner about it. And he says, in the book, she says that you beat her. And Ike Turner looks at him, and he's so angry. And he goes, all I'm going to say is, if she didn't like it, she should have left earlier. And then it gets even more aggressive from there.
Wow.
So all of a sudden, this man is admitting that he beat his wife. And then gets really confrontational and almost aggressive. Like, you think he might hit Arsenio. And that's the one I would really like to see Arsenio do.
In the meantime, there is plenty of the Arsenio Paul show on YouTube to be found, created by my guest, Paul Scheer. He recreates classic moments from the original Arsenio Hall show and also co-stars in the FX comedy The League. Paul, very nice talking to you. Thanks very much.
Thank you so much for having me. I will talk about Arsenio any day of the week. Y'all ready to party? Let me hear you shake it. Shake it. Shake it. I'll show you this one's for you. Let's go.
Well, speaking of Whitney Houston's love interests, a little bit of R&B singer Bobby Brown in performance on the original Arsenio Hall show. Up next, more live music from the L.A. pop group Haim. Stay with us. This is Soundcheck.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and if you'd like to see some truly hideous man crying, I suggest you watch the video for this song called The Wire. It features the three sisters who make up the L.A. rock band Haim and an array of men who just can't hold back the tears after the girls break their hearts. And really, who can blame them for being upset? Because Esty, Danielle, and Alana Haim are seriously on the rise. The group topped the BBC Sound of 2013 poll and will release their debut album, Days Are Gone, at the end of this month. We're getting a preview today in the Soundcheck studio. This is Haim playing live with a song called Honey and I.
Good night. I know there's nothing good in goodbye, but she lead me to no other line, no other line. Wild when you walk through the door, you make your way across the floor. All little girls that are try to dance, and no, no, but oh, no, no, no. See, I'm not afraid no more.
I'm not afraid no
to turn you away no more.
To turn you away no
to
more.
Turn you away, to turn you away, 'cause my home.
It's called Honey and I, live performance by Haim here in the Soundcheck studio. Haim is not just the name of the band, it is the last name of the three sisters who are at the heart of the band. Esty on bass, although there, Esty playing percussion mostly, doing some vocals. Danielle singing and playing guitar.
Yep.
And Alana, also a guitarist and keyboardist, but still more percussion on that
playing
song.
Everything else.
Playing everything else. Which doesn't leave Dash behind our drums with a whole lot to do, but he was banging away on some stuff
on
there
some
as well.
So, you know, one of the things, I guess, when you're starting a band is you got to figure out what to call yourselves. Haim, you know, people, you must be getting all kinds of crazy pronunciations of your name.
Yeah. I would say that's fair.
Yeah.
So do you guys have like a strategy for what you tell people, how to handle the name? H-A-I-M, by the way.
Yeah. I think the easiest way to remember it is it kind of sort of rhymes with time.
Yeah.
If time was, as you said, a diphthong.
Yeah.
As you described
time.
It.
Yeah. Recently on the show, I was sort of recalling my growing up in Queens with a heavy Queens accent where mm-hmm. every vowel became a diphthong. And yes, we would have said time.
Right, time.
So, yeah.
What time is it?
What time?
Yeah.
So is it true, Danielle, that you guys started in a kind of like rock cover band with your parents?
Yes, it is true. We when we were younger... my dad plays drums kind of for fun, and my mom played guitar kind of for fun. And growing up, my mom would kind of teach us, you know, simple Beatles songs on guitar. And, mm-hmm. you know, she was a huge Joni Mitchell fan. She kind of simplified the Joni Mitchell chords for us.
I was going to say, that's not simple stuff
yeah,
at all.
No, Joni is very complex, but, you know, she'd simplify just to kind of open chords. And then as we got older, it kind of got a little more, my dad kind of wanted to play, you know, Santana, and which I think involved more of a live band feel. And so we just kind of picked up electric guitars, Esty picked up a bass, and we started playing kind of rock and roll covers. Yeah.
So in addition to the Beatles and Joni Mitchell, who would you be playing?
I mean, so many.
So many. Tina Turner.
Tina Turner, Rolling Stones, Eagles.
Earth, Wind & Fire.
Yeah. Earth, Wind & Fire. Fire.
Mm-hmm.
We had like one Billy Joel cover.
Yeah.
Which one?
You may be right.
You may be right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's a good one. Kills it.
Great outro.
It brings down the house.
Yeah.
If you will.
You'd be surprised.
Do you still do them?
I mean, we have one long-standing gig that we do every year at this church in the San Fernando Valley where we grew up. And it's kind of like a rock and roll church. It's like a school also. And every like 80s stars children go to this school. So they also join in the fun at the fundraiser.
Yeah.
So technically we've opened for Billy Idol because he did it 1 year. So technically we've opened for him.
And Toto.
And Toto.
Don't forget
did
Toto.
It 1 year. So technically we've opened for Toto. The Cow Sills, can't forget about.
Really?
Yeah.
They're still around?
Oh, yeah.
Still around.
Kicking. Alive.
Wow. Are you a Cow Sills fan?
Well, I know who they are.
Flowers in their hair.
It's just a long time ago.
We love the Cow Sills.
Okay.
They're great. They're, you know, they bring down the house.
All right. And how did Mom and Dad feel when suddenly the family band didn't have them in it anymore?
I think they were just kind of like, all right, well, we're just going to, you know, keep doing our day job. And you guys can continue doing whatever you want to do.
They were always
very proud. You know?
Now, Esty, you went to UCLA,
yes,
right?
Yes, I did.
And your degree was it
ethnomusicology.
Ethnomusicology.
Yeah. Do you know what that is?
I do.
Nice.
What particular, like, region or style?
Area?
Yeah.
I had two emphases. One was Bulgarian folk music.
Uh-huh.
So Bulgarian voice.
That kind
voice.
Of diaphonic singing.
Yeah. The really, really close seconds.
Yeah, yeah.
It was really hard. It was definitely, like, you know, screwed with my mind a little bit, trying to get those harmonies right. And then the other one was Brazilian carnival music and uh-huh. also a little bit of candomblé.
Oh, okay. Which is the sort of the stuff you hear in Bahia.
Yeah,
the
northern Brazil.
Stuff.
Yeah, the African diasporic music of Brazil.
The Bulgarian harmony thing, that, you know, I mean, you said it sort of played with your, you know, your mind's ear. When it comes time for the three of you to kind of work out these harmonies mm-hmm. and stuff, do you find yourself thinking, you know, let's just get that little second thing happening?
we try.
Kate Bush did it really well.
Yeah, Kate Bush did do it really well.
Well, Kate Bush actually hired Bulgarian
singers.
Yeah,
she did.
Yeah.
But she fit it in her music so well where it didn't seem, at least to me, it seemed like it kind of fit. And even though it was kind of this, you know, otherworldly sounding thing, it fit in her pop music, I think, really well.
Right.
But anyway.
All right, so you guys, you know and like Joni Mitchell, Kate Bush, the Cowsills, the Beatles. I mean, your parents clearly did a good job of...
You should tell them. They're in the room over there.
Okay,
they're
well,
with us.
They're listening in. They just heard me say it. Let's put all that training back to work, shall we?
Right.
We're speaking with the band Haim. Their debut album, Days Are Gone, comes out on September 30th, but they're giving us a bit of a preview here in the Soundcheck studio. You want to do Falling next?
Yes. Sure.
Once again, this is the band Haim, live on Soundcheck.
Oh, I give a little into the moment, like I'm standing at the edge, I know. But no one's gonna turn me around. Just one more step I could let go. Oh, and in the middle I can hear the voices and the calling for me now. I know that nothing's gonna work me now, 'cause I'm a slave to the sound. And they're calling, don't stop, I'll never give up, and I'll never look back. Just hold my head up, and if it gets rough, it's time to get up. They keep saying, don't stop, no one's ever enough. I'll never look back, never give up, and if it gets rough, it's time to get rough. Oh. Trying not to make a sound, 'cause I'll be found out somehow. So keep calling me, don't stop, I'll never give up, and I'll never look back, just hold your head up. And if it gets rough, it's time to get up. They keep saying, don't stop, no one's never enough. I'll never look back, never give up, and if it gets rough, it's time to get up. Up and now I'm falling. We'll be right back.
band is Haim, live on Soundcheck with a version of their single called Falling. The album's out on September 30th, called Days Are Gone. It's Haim's debut. And Esty, when you guys are writing, do you write together or is it a...
Yes.
Really?
It's a very, very collaborative process, which is actually really nice because it's, you know, we just kind of get together in our living room and kind of just talk about what's going on in our lives, and then we just write some tunes.
That's it. So, you just write some
tunes. Just write some tunes.
Make it sound so simple.
You know? But no, you know, for us, it's just kind of like it's kind of therapeutic, you know, just to kind of be able to talk freely with each other and.
But now, I mean, not to put too fine a point on it, I have a bunch of sisters. I have a couple of daughters, and you know. Sometimes they love each other, and sometimes they don't want to be anywhere near each other. Now, you guys, you're on the road. You're in close quarters over long stretches of time. How does that work?
It just does.
I think it's just, I mean, we've grown up together, and we know.
Well, that's kind of what sisters do.
Right, they grow up together.
You know?
Right, you know, you grow up, and, you know, I think for us it was just kind of, you know, we know what buttons not to push.
Okay.
But we're also human at the same time, you know, like, you know, everyone has their bad days and at the end of the day, we're sisters and we love each other. And not only that, but Dash also knows how to keep us in line.
Dash
is the referee. Dash keeps us on a very tight leash.
Days Are Gone is the name of the record. It is out on September 30th, a much anticipated debut from the band Haim. And it's been a lot of fun having the three of you here.
Thank you.
Dash, too.
Don't forget Dashiki over there.
Playing for us here in the studio. The band is called Haim. This is Soundcheck.
Keep your heart locked tight. Don't let your mind read that. Always keep your heart locked tight. Don't let your mind read that.
That's going to do it for Soundcheck today. Don't forget to visit soundcheck.org to find out how you can participate in our Remix the Mayor Challenge. You've got until Sunday, September 29th at midnight, to submit your creative remix of one of New York City's mayors or more of them. You can find all the details at soundcheck.org. And while you're at our website, check out our latest blog posts, song downloads, videos, and any episodes you might have missed. Soundcheck is a production of WNYC. Irene Trudell leads our engineering team with Paul Schneider, Bill O'Neill, Jason Isaac, and Rick Kwan. The show is produced by Katie Bishop, Greta Cohn, and Mike Katziff, with Alex Kappelman, Amy Pearl, and our intern, Alex Martinez. Our executive producer is Joel Meyer. I'm John Schaefer. This is Soundcheck.